Yes, sir.
Okay. It is Tuesday, September 26, 2023, 6 o'clock p.m. We'll call the Common Council meeting to order. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Weigel, here. Farkas,
here.
Middleton,
absent.
Crowder,
here.
Romano,
here.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting on September 12th. I did have one change I sent to Rosie, and that was under Redevelopment Commission. On the third line, it says Old Cardinal Rate Property. It should say Cardinal Grain Property. Are there any other changes or corrections? Hearing none, can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
That's a motion to approve, right? I'm sorry. A motion and second. Further discussion? All those in favor should have mutual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Next up is the public hearing on the 2024 budget. I'll just give you a little recap. There are a couple of things that, you know, in general, there hasn't been significant changes in the budget from this year to next year. We are proposing a 4% 4% raise for employees across the board. Just so you're aware, that is consistent with what the county is giving to their employees. We have kind of put back in $10,000 for the housing authority, kind of offset the 90-10 owner-occupied rehabilitation program. We had to yank that out because of cuts last year. We've done a little bit of, we raised the amount we're giving to the Planning Commission. Because Nathan said it's costing us more money. He's not listening, but yes. Let's see. Just trying to go through some different things here. Again, I know most of you have seen the budget, so you're aware of this. We are proposing to add two positions to next year to the city. Two new positions. One is a community engagement specialist, which will fall under the community development department, if you will, that would be specifically in charge of potentially running the test kitchen if we get that up and running, handling some of the downtown kind of beautification efforts that we want to get moving. Handling obviously some of the weed spraying and the maintaining our pocket parks, things like that, as well as taking some of the burden off of our community development director of being at every late night meeting, although he's not here tonight, but every late night meeting. So that is one position. The other position is a new administrative assistant for our parks department. As you probably know, Andrea Picanew was hired on as a administrative assistant, and her duties have just continued to expand in the programmatic area. So running the concession stands, stocking those stands, making sure that the camps are running. Matt, is there anything else you want to add to that? I mean, I know Andrea just does a ton of different things, and the issue is we don't have someone working the phones and being in the office all the time because she's doing all those other things. So,
correct.
So basically having someone there from a responsiveness for our city residents, or, you know, whether it's buying tickets for father-daughter dance or the Halloween party,
yep,
things like that. We just need somebody that's there consistently, and because Andrea has just continued to pick up more and more responsibilities, it just makes sense to make that change. So those are the two new positions we are proposing this year, or for next year, excuse me. Obviously, still setting aside money for Eagle Park, still setting aside money for the trail extension. There's some different projects that the public safety departments are doing. One of those projects is to have a text alert program. program where individuals can sign up for text alerts for if they want to know when street closures are happening, if they want to know when there's utility outages, if they want to know when their utility bill is due, when they want to know about upcoming community events. They can sign up for basically a menu of options, and this really fits in as a way in which individuals who maybe don't have Facebook, maybe they don't have the newspaper or whatever, they can get things directly from the city to them. It also helps us on a public safety perspective, so that if there's, let's say, God forbid, but if there we have to clear a neighborhood for, you know, a fire or for some other purpose, we can draw a circle. Effectively, on this program, we can draw a circle and send out a text alert to all those people to say, hey, you need to leave your residence, and that kind of stuff. So again, it helps aid in those public safety things, but they would need to sign up for that service. So just so you're aware of that. Set aside money for phase two of the Westgate project. That will be for next year. We're going to be doing some building repair on the fire department, including roof and the front of the exterior of the fire department. And I think in general, that kind of is the highlights of the budget in and of itself. Not dramatic changes by any means. We continue to try to be thoughtful about how we spend people's money and try to make sure that we're using it for the right reasons and the right things without getting too out there, let's say it that way. As you all have heard me say, the city can provide anything its citizens want, but they have to be willing to pay for it. And so we try to do a really good job of balancing that, of making sure that we're providing the services the city should, and at the same time, not going way out of bounds. And in general, I think our citizens are approving of that. So, so with that being said, I will pause the Common Council meeting and open up the microphone, if you will, to the public hearing for the 2024 budget. Is there anybody that would like to speak on the 2024 budget? Hearing none, we will close the public hearing and open up ordinance 2023-17. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? All those in favor show the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Please read ordinance number 2023-17 by title only. I'm sorry. Did I go too fast?
Ordinance 2023-17. This is an ordinance or resolution for appropriations and tax rates.
So it's the so this is basically the ordinance that we do every year that sets the budget. So any questions, comments, concerns from the council? Okay, hearing none, can I have a motion to approve on first reading?
So moved. Second.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Walt. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor show the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. We will move it to second reading at the next meeting, correct?
No, it'll
nope.
Be the first meeting.
Well, that would be the next
meeting. Adopt and honor. Oh, yes, it will be at
the 10th. Yep, at the next meeting. Okay. Next up is ordinance 2023-18. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Ted, seconded by Jennifer. Further discussion? All those in favor show the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Please read ordinance number 2023-18 by title only.
Ordinance 2023-18, an ordinance amending the zoning classification of certain property from the R2 two-family residential district to the R3 multifamily residential district.
Nathan, come on up.
Good evening. For the record, Nathan Bilger, Planning Director. So this ordinance is a proposal to rezone about 13 acres just north of Ravenwood Section 2 and just east of Timber's Edge, what will potentially become Section 1 of Timber's Edge on the east side of town, a little ways north of East Hannah Street. The Plan Commission considered this at their September meeting, forwarded you a favorable recommendation, similar to what was requested for Timber's Edge, which was zoned R2. They requested R3, primarily for the smaller lot sizes, smaller setbacks, not for the multifamily component. And they, with that, they submitted a zoning commitment that multifamily would be prohibited. They're proposing the same thing, and the Plan Commission is forwarding this as a requirement for a zoning commitment that multifamily would be prohibited. In the discussion, and especially because there was more public hearing at this one, two other commitments also came out of that discussion. One is that a maximum of 25% of the lots in that would be developed would be of the lower R3 standards, so the smaller lot size and so on. Setbacks would be still the same throughout all of them, but the smaller lot size. And then the other one was that driveways would be a minimum of 20 feet in width. In the discussion, that was a discussion about a two-car attached garage for single-family detached. They do want to do some villas in here, which could be potentially one-car garages, so single-family attached. So Brooks Langlow can discuss that with you a little bit more about clarifying that commitment. You can make additional commitments as part of your consideration at the council level, or you can modify them. If you remove any of them, you will need to send it back to the commission for their blessing. So you can add more, make it more restrictive, but if you make it less restrictive, the commission has to act on it again. So again, comes to you with a favorable recommendation from the City Plan Commission. Questions for me? Yes.
What are the plans for streets? Are they going to be wider than some of the previous things in that area?
They are meeting the actual pavement should meet the street specification. Now the right of way is being is expected to actually be requested to be slightly narrower in order to allow for a deeper front setback in some. I'll let Brooks explain the rationale behind that, but he is expecting to narrow the right-of-way to allow for a little deeper setback.
So to be clear, the roadways will be built to current specs.
Correct.
Whereas some of the other roadways were a smaller spec.
Just
thinking, yeah. I think that's what you were going
right,
into.
Because it's been a concern in that
yes.
area that emergency vehicles can't get in.
Yeah. Right. The right-of-way, the current minimum right-of-way for streets is 60 feet. 50 feet is what's in Valley River and parts of Raven, I think all of the existing Ravenwood. But their actual pavement width also changed at some point in time. So you are talking about the actual street pavement width and not the right-of-way width, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the actual pavement would still be held to the current standard.
Can you clarify, Nathan, you had said multiple times that the plan was not, and maybe this is a Brooks question, but multiple times about the fact that it's not going to be building multifamily residential, but once kind of some of those standards for lot sizes. Is that basically?
Well, R3 allows for single family,
yeah.
As well as two family and
sure.
multifamily. So the lot size is really, in all three of the residential zoning districts, is really meant for if you're doing single family, this is your minimum lot size.
Okay.
If you're doing two family, it has functions of what that then becomes, and then it has a separate standard for R3. If you're doing multifamily, like Quail Ridge,
yep.
minimum acreage per unit and so on, and minimum recreation space.
Okay.
So the lot size really, even though the name is multifamily, the lot sizes are really still based upon single family.
Other questions from the council?
I was actually just drove through there before I pulled in here tonight
because yeah.
yeah. of the parking
oh, yeah.
issue.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yep.
Because, yeah, yeah. the size of the that's kind of constricted.
Yeah, I did, for your information, I did get a letter from a concerned citizen regarding Valley River specifically, I think, mm-hmm. and when people park on both sides, it does get kind of constricted in there, so.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly when things changed, but mm-hmm. as I recall, Valley River was a narrower street yeah. pavement spec.
I believe you're right.
By 2 feet, I think that was increased then.
Yep.
Yeah, because ours actually, Timber's Edge.
Widens out.
Timber's Edge widens out yep. as it goes in.
Yeah. Brooks, you want to come up and chat about what you plan to do?
Yeah, we just kind of wanted clarification, number one, on the 20-foot driveway. We kind of got off track the last meeting, and when that was brought up, I was still thinking two-car garages,
gotcha.
Forgetting that we may do some villas with some single-car garages. Don't know yet,
yep.
But just don't want to be constricted to having a 20-foot driveway on a single-car garage.
So a variety of products is what you're looking at
yeah.
for this section.
Same thing. I mean, we just kind of want to mirror
yeah.
probably our section one, but maybe add villas into the mix.
Does the verbiage have to be changed if we're going to do either or is it okay the way it's written?
You mean on the commitment?
Yeah, right, for the 20 foot.
What I would suggest is you clarify that 20 feet is for a single family detached house with a two-car garage, and then add another standard for the villas. So 12 feet,
or whatever the
20 feet, if you want it to be.
Can we just go by what's required? Because if that changes in the time,
then if you have a single-car garage, you could have a 10-foot driveway.
Yeah, I. If you just say what's required, it's required, so there's no point in saying it. So I would say it makes most sense to actually put a distance on it, just like 20 feet. It makes sense if you're going from two car to one car. Dan's suggestion of 10 feet to me makes
that's,
sense.
That's fine with me.
Well, yeah, maybe that's simple.
Other questions of the developer or Nathan? Is this the final phase, Brooks, or do you have more?
Yeah, that's, yeah. Unless you can find us some more ground.
And you're planning on developing the whole thing in one, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of right in a tweener,
yeah.
right in between one for phase and two phases.
And for the rest of it, how many lots are you looking at? I mean, I know, but.
It's probably, 50-ish, and then. Kind of the caveat on that is, I mean, in the 50, if we do some villas, I mean, those are going to be two units on one lot. So.
Why you said 20%, and I didn't want to hold them less of small frontages. So 25% of those lots will have the minimum. The rest will be the larger lots.
Well, actually, it won't be the minimum because we won't build anything at 50. It'll be 55. It'll be the smallest we would go. But. And I mean, I kind of shared this with the Planning Commission. I just simplified it a little more. But, I mean, there was discussion about, you know, R3 with the smaller sizes of the lots is going to be more density. Well, technically, let's just to simplify it, say the road's 700 foot straight. You can get 10 in an R2 zoning with a 70-foot lot. You can get 10 lots on each side. That's 20 lots. Times two if you put villas on each, so that would be 40 houses on that 700-foot road.
Yeah.
R3, when you take out the multifamily, even if you went to the minimum lot size, which is 50-foot, that would be 14 lots per side, times two would be 28 homes. So you're 12 homes less even than what you can build in R2, so we're not coming anywhere close to.
Well, with the R3 also, you get to have a bigger backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people like the bigger backyard. So that's another reason, that's probably a good idea to do R3.
In full disclosure, Brooks and I have been having conversations about figuring out a way maybe to get a trail from this neighborhood over somehow to Parkview Hospital or some way. To give additional connection, if you will, to our trail system and to the you know, Morse's Park and other places like that. So I continue to work on that, and but Burks and I have had multiple conversations about that.
Yeah, because that backs up to the Parkview property?
Yeah, Parkview. Actually, there's 24 acres of woods we own there, too. That's probably, it's not going to be developable because of the topography. So, yeah, that woods actually butts up to, that woods is kind of in between this parcel that's being rezoned and the hospital property.
Six of them about making the easement smaller?
Just the right-of-way.
The right-of-way?
Yeah.
Okay. Because does electric RMC run down the front or the back there?
On in section one, some of that's run to the front. We're going
to
design it.
Run it to the back.
I don't like them running in front.
I don't either. Because that's where the water sewer, and now we have internet. You're kind of getting that area pretty well back. If we can get the electric to the back, it's sure.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's what, and this one lays out a lot better. The problem with phase one, or section one, was you've been back.
Yeah.
As you're driving back, I mean, it really drops off to the right, and they would have been on the side of a hill and in the woods trying to run electric.
But I've
and that's
seen
why.
Some of their other developments, you know, out of Lincoln Point, they've been starting to put it in the front, and that just makes it a big hassle.
And this lays flat enough that I think we can, you know, being able to come off Somerset and come off Cottonwood, we can keep that.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, because the problem with the 60-foot right-of-way, and on section one, we went in and got a variance to be able to set the house closer because of that. Because all the streets, except for our section there, have a 50-foot right-of-way. So, I mean, it doesn't make sense to go from 50 to 60 at the last phase.
Right.
Now, you're tying into a bunch of stuff.
The electric and internet and water and sewer being in that area makes it a little rough on us.
Yeah. Because I think there might be six lots in section one that it's in the back, and then the rest they had to bring around to the front.
Yeah.
So.
Other questions?
Okay. Thank you.
Can you read this one? Okay. Okay. Any questions regarding the actual ordinance of the rezone? Okay, hearing none, can I have a motion to approve? On for free.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Tad, second by Walt. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. We'll move it to second reading at the next meeting. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Next up is a tree board appointment. Walt?
Does any of you have a recommendation? I do have one who's presently on the tree board, who would like to stay on the tree board, but willing to give up his position if somebody else was interested.
I forwarded a name to the mayor.
You did? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's been a bit.
Oh, was that Deb?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so actually, I found a different board that I think she could put on, but I know she does have an interest in that. Yeah, is your appointment Larry?
Yes.
Is it okay?
Larry Walters.
Yeah, I know Larry's. I know Larry.
Larry's very passionate.
Larry's very passionate about trees. So I mean, it's up to the council. You guys can appoint whoever you want. But I will tell you that I did find a different board for Deb to serve on. Not necessarily as a replacement, but something that I think would really pique her interest.
Make a motion that we keep Larry Walters on, since we probably have a position for that person.
Okay. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion second. Further discussion? All those in favor should be the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Thank you.
Rosie, could you ask Sally to send Larry a letter letting him know that he will leave?
And reappointed. Yeah, they'll have to come back and get sworn in again. Yep.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Real quick, did that revision get put in there on the reading? for the single fan, for the single car garage.
Okay. Well, we just approved the actual rezone, so
yeah,
that's okay. I can have a motion to change the.
Clarify.
You know, to clarify.
It would be to clarify the. Which one is it? The third zoning commitment in the certification to include a 10-foot wide minimum for one car garages.
What he said.
Okay. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Motion, and I'll give it to Jennifer a second for the discussion. All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Okay. Thanks for the clarification.
Thank you.
Yes.
I didn't know if I heard that or not.
No, I didn't specify it, so I appreciate you bringing that up. Next up is a position description change. As noted in my budget discussion, this is kind of a change of a new sort of position description, really to accommodate what Andrew is actually doing. You know, again, we don't necessarily like to write job descriptions to mirror what someone's actually doing. We like to be ahead of the game. This was just not one of those cases. So we wanted to encapsulate kind of what Andrew has been doing in the Parks Department to support many different activities and programs. So,
question.
Yeah.
So will her current job title or description change then, or is it just she'll just keep doing how she's doing it?
Well, so this position description, this would be her.
This will be her. This isn't
and
her.
And the admin is, yeah, so we already have the administrative assistant job description that will go for the new person.
So we need to remove that from the top.
Well, so I talked to Beth earlier about that a little bit, and I'm not sure why we decided to keep the slash. Matt, do you have any insight on that?
Just because she was going to still help out in admin because of her years of being there. She can help the new person along, and so she's going to be kind of doing that dual role, more on the program side, but still being able to help on the admin side.
Frankly, if the council would like to clarify it, that would be perfectly fine as well. It's up to you what you want to do.
Did Beth have any particular?
Yeah, I don't know if she had a preference. But she put this together, I think.
Yes,
right? That's what
she
I thought.
Yes.
So.
Being an assistant slash assistant?
Administrative assistant slash assistant program coordinator. So, I mean, it's up to you guys. If you want to change the wording on that, you are. We've done that. We did it with the aquatic center.
The other thing that she could do is the administrative assistant, it could be in the job description, but she is an assistant to the program coordinator.
Yeah, that'd be fine. Yeah.
And then not have all that. I think that would make more sense. Yeah.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, we would change that position's title to assistant program coordinator and put in some of the duties of the administrative assistant into the essential functions or something. Is that what you're saying?
We leave it administrative assistant, and then in the job description that she would still be an assistant program coordinator. Assistant to the program coordinator.
Is that what you'd like to do? Only thing I would see as an issue there potentially is that when we're defining a pay range, that that if we have an administrative assistant and Andrea, they're doing separate things, they're doing separate focuses, but they're under the same job description, if I'm hearing you correctly. Is that not what you're saying?
Well,
assistant regional manager.
Yeah, Melinda is the program supervisor.
I understand that. I guess my point is, are you saying that it should all still remain under administrative assistant, or are you saying that this position should be assistant program coordinator and take out the admin assistant program?
That's
that we do it under the assistant program coordinator and put some of the duties of the administrative assistant in our essential function.
I agree with that.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm just trying to get this all changed around before salary ordinance gets presented so these match.
And are you planning to bring that up to the next meeting, President?
No.
Okay. So the maybe first meeting in November? Okay. So if I'm hearing you all correctly, and hearing Matt correctly, It probably would behoove us to send this back to Beth to have those adjustments made, if that's what the council wants to do. Can I have a motion to table the position description make those recommendations back to Beth?
I move that we table this for right now and send it back to Beth to make some changes.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, second by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor show the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Okay, we will do that. Okay, department reports. Thomas.
As I had mentioned at the previous meeting, we sent our engines to get a pump tested. 102 failed its pump test. It did last year as well. It's got a gremlin in the, I will call it, in its electrical system. We thought we had it cured, and we obviously did not. So hopefully, it's either got to be in a node or a module, and we're going to get this figured out. So I'll keep you posted on how that goes. Right now, it's out of service for firefighting duties. All the rescue tools are still usable. It's a large wheelbarrow at this point, so we've got to get the pump fixed. So along with that, Chris, Trent, and myself will be attending a training in Fort Wayne tomorrow. The state changed some of its way in the fire code for authorities having jurisdiction, and there's a training on that tomorrow that we're going to attend. Trent starts his fire inspection 2 certification training in October, and it ends in October, towards the end of October. So that'll be his final certification to take over for Chris when he retires to be our fire inspector. One of our gas meters is being sent away for a repair. It's going to be under warranty. It's got a filter that went bad on it, so that's one of our newer ones that I waited forever to get. Thank goodness it's under warranty, and they're going to repair that for us. One of our pack trackers got broken. We sent it away, and then we finally got it back. So that was nice to get that back in our hands. And then, as I told the Board of Works earlier, and I mentioned this, I don't know if it was the last meeting or the meeting before, in reference to a thing called iRoll, which is, it's a software company that companies that do inspections on sprinkler systems. If we sign an agreement with them, then anybody that does an inspection on a sprinkler system has to report that on iRoll, and it would be sent to us so that we can see any deficiencies in sprinkler systems within our community. It's not an Easter egg hunt to go out and find them like it currently is. With that being said, it's going to put Chris, it's going to bury him. I about guarantee it's going to bury him. So that's going to be an interesting scenario. However, I did speak to the mayor earlier, and my intent at this time is to get Trent moved over to be working with Chris, and hopefully it coincides with about the time that software comes out for us to utilize, and they can take it from two sides instead of just one side. So we'll see if that works out. But along with that, that's if the Board of Works would sign the agreement with iRoll, and then the council passed the ordinance that I gave to Marcia, and she's going to get those out to you guys as soon as she gets back from vacation. So with that being said, you're going to be seeing some paperwork from me, along with an MOU from Warsaw Fire. They contacted us, wanted us to sign an MOU for a mutual aid agreement. We do have the statewide mutual aid agreement, which basically sets forth that any community that's called into another community has an obligation for one operational period under NIMS. One operational period being 12 hours. After that, the mayor could go, Tom, you're leaving wherever you are and you're coming back to the city. Well, if we sign an MOU for a mutual aid agreement, then it marries us to whoever we sign those with.
Both ways.
Yes. So if we need them, we have them until we're done with them. If they need us, they have us until they're done with us. So it's really a thing that happens a lot in the fire service. It's not something that's new to this particular incident or to that community. So
how does that work financially?
It is recoverable after that first operational period. You just have to fill out all the paperwork and make it happen that way. It's all defined under that NIMS stuff that happened after 9/11 and how that the paperwork you have to fill out to get reimbursements and all that.
NIMS is National Incident Management System.
Correct. And the paperwork's pretty intensive, so I would be going to Rosie going, here's a bunch of paperwork for you. Thanks. So I really don't. It's one of those things that I think a lot of communities are taking more serious nowadays than they did in the past, trying to get these mutual aid agreements signed. And so it's nothing new. It's just something that it's, like the mayor said, it's kind of atypical for a larger community to contact a smaller versus a smaller contacting larger. But being the geographical location of Warsaw, it only makes sense that they approach us.
So how does the insurance companies look like that? Is there any discount given for that mutual aid type of having more apparatuses and more manpower to available?
Evans Buddy System.
Yeah.
Not to my knowledge, because when we disclose for, oh my gosh.
ISO.
Oh my gosh, it slipped me. When we disclose for ISO, that is not a question that we're asked.
Okay. So we currently don't have something like that in place, an MOU with them, or we've done it in the past?
We do not have anything with Warsaw. There is, like I said, the statewide mutual aid agreement, which obligates you for the first 12 hours.
Every fire department.
And this just means after the first 12 hours, we would have to stay there, but they would have to stay here until whatever needs to be cleaned up gets cleaned up.
Correct. It extends that operational period.
Understood.
So Marcia's got that paperwork. She'll be getting that after she gets back from vacation as well.
Questions now? Thank you. Mike?
Third quarter cleaning of the Steel Dynamics Force main and air release valves. Inspection has been completed. We had a pre-construction meeting for the Force Main project. The station part of it, the pumps, it's looking like January to February. The Force Main will start the borings sometime April or March to April. It's kind of the timeline that they threw out as an initial one, but we'll have to see as it gets closer. Last week and this week, all the lift stations, what wells have been cleaned out, thanks to Kelly and a couple of his guys in the jet machine. And my pre-treatment guys have been working on setting flow meters to monitor the flows on all our industries.
Questions to Mike? Thank you. Mike?
We finished up painting the hydrants out at Eagle Glen. Mostly the ones we're painting were put in. They were yellow, and we traded colors on them and painted them red, and it peels off fairly easy after it gets a little age on it. So we're doing the ones there, and then we're heading to Deer Chase and doing them because they were yellow also, painted red. Also end of last week our backer truck went down with a bad PTO shaft, which is the second one we've had because of the design. And so I got on the phone, was talking to them. They said we've changed design on that, the new one will be in, and it's no cost to you for that. So I'm not saying there wasn't some other stuff on the truck to be repaired while it was in, but the PTO shaft, they're taking care of the cost and that on that. Another thing is on the lead and copper, we are going to have to get some letters around and get them to certain areas of town that we think are is copper or plastic, not the lead, and so that we can get in, you know, send these letters out so that we can go over there and get in and see what kind of pipe is coming up through the floor that they have. So if it's copper, then it's probably usually copper all the way to the street. If it's plastic, it's usually plastic all the way to the street. And we can get some of these taken care of so that we don't have to worry about trying to identify them you know, if I dig it. Once this is done, and I think it's October of 2024, anything that we have not identified, we have got to assume that it's lead, and that will be part of the ones we have to take out. Even if we dig down, you know, we'll still have to dig down and find out what it is, but we have to take the lead out.
There's our federal mandate.
And I believe that doesn't start till sometime in 25, but we have to have everything identified by October 24.
So effectively, the more we can identify or not copper and lead, the easier that project's going to do. So
I think we got 3,200 that's not identified yet. I mean, what's aggravating is like Westgate, we did that. That line hasn't been in very
90s.
Yeah, and even up at Wooddale, they still say we have to dig them up and identify, and I'm sitting there saying, we put these in the 90s. We couldn't use lead in the 90s. Why? Well, it don't matter, you know. Yeah. Someone's trying to justify their job in Washington.
Okay. Question to Mike.
My question for you is, do you have an estimate when you're going to be painting hydrants in Deer Chase?
We started today.
Okay.
This morning. And then we're going to come right around the newer additions there because they were put in as yellow. And like I said, they tried to paint over them, and
okay.
It just don't last as long.
So if you currently have a yellow hydrant, it's probably going to be red sometimes.
Well, except on the new part of Deer Chase back there, I can't think of the name, back there where the big houses are.
Okay.
They're yellow. And I told the guys, do not touch them. They're nice looking yellow ones. Just leave them yellow and until I get a way that we can put a good paint job on it.
Okay.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mike. Matt?
We rebuilt the surrounding area of the splash pad vault. We had some paper wall blocks from the Eagle Park property by the football storage, so we just reused them over there, took the old rotten down and put that up and around it to make it look better. We placed some concrete walls that we've been kind of placing throughout as parking deterrents. We replaced those down there because the other ones were rotten, and we don't want them to park on top of the tanks of where the water comes in to flow out over into the river. We had to drain the pool completely and clean it again because of this spring we found that the paint job from the fall was chipping. They came up, got us started for the season, and then as the season went on, it flaked and chipped, and they were coming back in this fall to redo that. So they came in to do the warranty work and repaint what they needed to repaint. Get that. We'll probably have to put 3 feet of water back into the pool so that it doesn't pop out of the ground with the groundwater and the pressure. So Rotary donated money for 2 benches, the concrete benches that Noah Hilty is making. They're about 400 or 500 pounds. They'll be put on the overlook at the pond. We redid that, and we just haven't seen the activity that was normally on it, and that's because we took away 2 of the benches. We didn't rebuild those back on there, so we're able to put those concrete benches, and we won't have to worry about them getting thrown into the pond. At least I hope not.
Just more fish habitat.
Yeah, right. Other than that, it's just day to day.
Questions to Matt?
We had a gentleman come in about a month and a half ago, asking about a trail or some way of getting from the Irish Glen down into. I know you're busy, but have you had a chance to even have a look at that?
Yeah, the thing with Irish Glen is that's always been a problem because then they came in and they did the DNR work and they had to terrace that down. Well, when they terraced that, they did it in such big sections. And then they put, obviously, erosion control in that. They used big riprap, and then they tried to put smaller stones on top of that. Then we came in and took that erosion out, kept the big rocks in there.
Right.
And so it's a pretty nice, you know, grade going down now. But there's just, it's an obstacle to get equipment back there. And it just has come down to the point where we just have to look at paving it and engineering that whole thing all over again.
Yeah, because I looked at that and I'm like, that's going to be a tough fix.
The topography is not in our favor there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. The water department actually put in all those telephone poles that back when it was first put in.
I was just hoping we had something, but since a gentleman came in and said we would do it that way, I was hoping we had something to try.
Yeah, so I know that was one thing that I know some residents brought up to me as well, and so we, you know, we've been continuing to cut back the brush and stuff from that trail, and I know that you guys have been working on the trail to make it better. The sign, I think, got painted there. And
well, we're doing that this week.
Well, you're doing that this week. Okay, I knew it was coming up. So we keep working on it. I think, you know, Matt's 100% correct in saying that looking at the topography, we're going to need to spend some big bucks to get that connector right now. People can utilize it, but I mean, right now it is usable. The challenge is if you want to take a stroller or something down there, it's just not really, it's not made for that, and so it's not, it would be very challenging to do that. Individuals who are walkers or
mountain bikers,
it's perfect for them, but it's not. So at some point we're going to have to spend some big bucks to get that paved. And honestly, depending on kind of what happens in that whole area, Irish Glen, Eagle Glen, you know, kind of Dye property, that whole area out there, you know, there may be some more connectivity, and if that's the case, you'll have a lot more usage of it and things like that. So it's definitely a balancing act, but I think it's very
important. I worked out too. I'm like, oh, no, I can't do that. Just easily done. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, we get a call and say we're trying.
Yeah, we looked into that.
Yeah. You know, no one understands. We put some effort into it.
Yeah, and they have put some effort into it.
Right, that's for sure. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Other questions? Thank you, Terry.
Baseline Fiber is supposed to be in town this week to cut the fiber to the north and northwest substations. So once that's complete, we should be able to finish a project up at the water booster station and get it on the fiber network. We've been out at the park office, all the equipment's installed, the Cisco units are going to have to be set up and all the wiring checked to see if it's useful for the new system we're putting in out there. That's all we got.
Other questions of Terry? Thank you, Rosie. I have a bunch of updates for individuals, department heads that aren't here. The police, over the last 2 days in this room, have hosted the A-Ride, which is Advanced Roadside Impaired Driving Enforcement Training. Went very well. Lots of individuals gave a lot of positive comments about our facility, and it seemed to go really well. So as you may have noticed, there was a lot of police vehicles out in front of City Hall over the last 2 days, from Avon, Muncie, and certainly locally with our Sheriff's Department and the city police officers. Gary is got approval from the board to extend conditional offers of employment to Casey Hirschberger and Ryan Emery after going through the Board of Works interviews, so for two police officers. Gina is going to Chicago to teach a class on records and advanced records for the Motorola Midwest Users Group, and so congratulations to Gina for being singled out as being, you know, really good at that, at records and advanced records kind of retention for our police department. We have received two cars from Cops Gear, and they're placed into rotation now. So finally, if you remember, Gary has said a couple times, we're waiting. Finally, we don't have to wait anymore. So, and they're working on SOPs. In dispatch, they are testing the county fire department 800 pagers because the county dispatch doesn't have that capability, so we've been asked to do that, and this isn't going to affect any normal operations, but it is testing. So, and things are running smoothly, and they're working on SOPs. For Kelly, concrete crew, we're out working in Eagle Glen, upgrading some of the ADA ramps out there. Kelly and two of his staff members are attending the Street Commissioners Convention this week. Work orders have been setting for one or two guys, and they have a couple guys out patching asphalt and stone alleys. They have two guys working with, or we're working with the wastewater department and cleaning lift stations. After the next limb pickup, which will be next week, I think, they're going to start working on getting plows and salt boxes ready. So close your ears if you're not ready to hear the S word. We are working with the new highway superintendent on kind of two things. Number one is just shoring up what the city kind of does in exchange with the county and what the county does in exchange with the city, because there's a lot of areas where there's one side of the street that is city, one side of the street that's the county. And so working on some of those things, making sure that's shored up, as well as working on what to do with the 200 East road once the County Dyke property starts to move. So we're hoping that we'll get that traffic study in very shortly so we can start having those conversations even further. And then for Chip, he said we're expecting to bid the trail project in November, with the completion date set for May of 25, which is a little longer than we wanted. There are some challenges with DNR and with CSX to try to move paperwork through there, but we are planning to go to bid in November. Mike and Chip have been working on with the engineers to make sure sewer is connecting to County Jug property and all that kind of good stuff, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Tree Board bought 25 trees at Ace and are going to be planting them around Hannah Street Extended, and we're getting letters out to ask for permission for those plantings. At Board of Works today, we approved effectively a new contract with JPR regarding staking for the stormwater portion of Eagle Park, because we're going to do that in-house, take that out of the bid for Eagle Park, and that'll end up saving us a lot of money, plus we'll work in-house for that kind of stuff. We are, I think, pre-construction meeting happened today. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay, happened today for 100 South. I think that may be it for department head reports. Just so you're aware, again, we had police interviews yesterday. Tomorrow's youth council meeting. Thursday, I'm in Indianapolis for the first committee that I've been appointed to by the governor. So that will be 5 hours of fun, I'm sure. We have a group of school kids coming in from, I think, Northern Heights, coming in on Friday to do a tour of City Hall. And they'll be spending time with both the police and fire department. Trying to see if there's anything else you guys need to do. I think that actually happens to the school kids coming in, I think, for three consecutive Fridays, I think. So we'll be having kids in here every Friday morning. And next lunch with the mayor is on Friday the 6th at noon. Walt?
Nothing.
Dan?
Just a reminder, PTJ is basically dead.
Yep.
After last week ago, Wednesday, we had expansion. So that's not going to happen at this point, I'll just say. There's a they voted it down, which was a surprise to all of us on the flag commission. We spent a lot of time, and our planning department has spent a lot of time trying to promote that, and there's a large number of people that misunderstood what DTJ was. Hearing the expressions, there is a packed house. No seats available. They expressed a lot of concerns that was founded on untruth. And I am not sure exactly what the Philly County Plan Commission was thinking, because it was their proposal to us. After we made a proposal to them, they didn't care for that one, so they downsized it quite a bit. We met jointly and came up with what we call as a compromise, and they sent it back to us saying, hey, you know what, we can live with that. They actually had some really good ideas. about how this could all go. And it's like, okay, this, I think we could make this work. Well, they go into it. After we said yes, they take it back, and then they voted down their own proposal, in my eyes. So it's like, I don't know. This honestly has been, I've been just finishing up my 16th year. This is the most frustrating, aggravating thing I've ever come across. I don't understand. You know, how we can talk, how do we educate people that don't want to be educated? I'm just going to say that.
Yeah. Last week I talked to veteran Gary Bird about the things that he's working on in the local cemeteries. And it's really impressive the work that he's doing to repair the headstones and monuments, particularly in Green Hill Cemetery. Mm-hmm. Lots of work going into that. He's doing some work that's pretty impressive when you think about the fact that a lot of the headstones are for veterans and other people that he's encountered along the way that don't have any family looking after them anymore. So it's just kind of really meaningful work. And if anybody has any spare time, volunteering with them would be time well spent.
I spent Friday with him, and it wasn't, I would say it wasn't super challenging work, but it was very rewarding. So we're going to see if maybe there's a way, maybe in the spring, if our youth council can maybe spend some time out there.
That's neat. And I think it's also neat that he and a lot of the volunteers are actually learning stories about the people.
Yes.
So it's great that they are taking care of more than just a headstone on the ground, but actual people who lived and did.
Ted?
I have nothing.
Nathan, since you're here.
You guys stole what I was
going to say. I'm sorry. Okay. Anything else from the audience?
You.
Okay. Come on up. Name and address, please.
Melanie Love, 113 East Market Street. And I'm here to... I got papers again.
Okay.
These pictures. Graphics and super effective, illustrating sites and stuff.
This one's fun because the egg pictures, you can kind of see where it shows you're getting like two times more on a lot of these things or whatever, and it's sort of proportional, which is helpful. Also, I have extras of these if you guys would like them as well, if you're interested.
So basically, these are just fun things about chickens.
There's an ad down in the bottom from, you know, Uncle Sam expects you to keep hens and raise chickens because, you know, a long time ago, your State Agriculture College of the United States Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C. thought that it was important enough that everyone do their part and keep backyard chickens. And so kind of odd that we've come, you know, completely the opposite direction nowadays. And this is just, you know, talking about some fun facts about chickens, which I've shared a lot of the benefits of chickens. This one is more the fun of chickens, because I don't think that we covered that as much. And again, you guys can read it, but for the audience, chickens can distinguish between 100 different faces. They have their own language and use an estimated 24 to 30 different words to communicate. A healthy chicken can lay about 265 eggs each year. Chickens make friends and will grieve. They can see more colors than humans. So lots of cool things. Also, chickens are good at math. From a young age, they can add, subtract, and recognize different shapes. And the world's oldest chicken is Peanut, who is 21 years old. Also, just a fun fact at the top there, it says in 2011, 93% of the U.S. cities allowed the raising of backyard chickens, including Denver, New York, and Los Angeles. I've talked to a lot of people. I know you guys have talked to a lot of people as well. I'm not sure that we're talking to the same people because a lot of the people that I'm talking to seem to be very on board with chickens. And those that aren't have been more, you know, I don't know. And when you talk to them and say, well, why? And you're able to put aside a lot of these misconceptions and things like that, they go, okay, I guess maybe. So I haven't found anyone that has said, oh gosh, no, never, that's the worst, horrible idea. So I'm not sure where you're getting a lot of calls, just saying, I know, I'm sure you are, but I'm not sure that we're talking to the same people. And a lot of the people in town that I've spoken to just want to be able to do what we want with our own property. If it's not bothering someone else, you know, we should be allowed to have our chickens.
I have a comment. You know, I truly respect your passion. And I honestly have learned a lot about chickens in the last year and a half, however long it's been. But understand that we voted 2 meetings ago, so we was not going to discuss chickens for a considerable amount of time.
Then I will be here for a considerable amount of time.
You totally have the freedom to speak at any meeting. I understand that. You totally have the right to do that. But, you know, we voted two meetings ago that we're not going to consider having chickens at Bucky Center.
And if I might, I would like to remind you of a quote that I heard recently. How can we educate people who don't want to be educated? So, thank you.
Last thing is, I'm going to once again call out, if anybody wants to go to this extension board dinner thing, please let me know. I know I brought that up last time. I know Tad said he couldn't be there, but if anybody's interested, please let me know. With that, anything else for the other costs? Do I have a motion to adjourn? Okay, do I have a second? Okay, we are adjourned.